So far, we've established the fact that God does delight in certain individuals. We've taken a look at all the characteristics that He delights in, and that we need to possess those characteristics. We need to make it our aim to be like Jesus, to be well-pleasing to God. And so now in this lesson, what we're going to talk about is what happens when God delights in us. So what's the result? What will God do if He delights in us? The first thing that I want to suggest to you, and this one is so meaningful. It's so meaningful to me, and I hope so to you. If God delights in us, He will draw near to us. I don't think there's anything more important that we can obtain, that we can, I want to say, achieve. This is God's doing. There's nothing greater that can happen in our lives than to have a close relationship with God. I hope that's what every one of us are aiming for, that that's our goal, is to draw as close to God as we can. And we see that promise to us in James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That's a promise. And so that's reassuring. If I will do my part, if I will make the effort, if I will do the things that we've talked about and obey God's word, and I'm trying to draw near and to have a close relationship with Him, He promises us that He will draw near to us. We can have that close relationship. And so I was thinking about verses in a way to illustrate it, to substantiate the point with verses. And I really couldn't think of a better verse, though I know that you probably will. I couldn't think of a better verse than 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Can you imagine that? We understand it academically. But to get our minds around that we are children of the supreme being of the universe, God has adopted us, we need to understand this in understanding that, is that in flesh, God only has one Son. But yet through Him, we get to become children. And how is it? And I'm really looking for one word. You're going to come up with maybe different ones than what I'm looking for, and they're probably going to be right. I'm looking for one. In what way, how do we become children of God? That's the one. I'm hoping to preach a sermon. And let me put a bug in your ear. You can work up one on it if you like. Tomorrow, our daughter Ashley is going to court, her and her husband, to finalize the adoption of their daughter. You already know what that's like, don't you, Grady? And when she called us, she sent a family text. In essence, she was saying, I'm writing this message with tears. Let me tell you why. I don't think she would mind me saying this. If she does, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. Early on in their marriage, the first child, Ashley had a miscarriage, and that affected her tremendously. But then they had Callum and they had Ollie, and Ashley, from the time she was a teenager, probably before, she has always wanted to adopt. And fortunately, she married a man who was willing to share that dream with her. And they, I don't know, Marshall, Colton, do y'all know how many attempts they went through at adoption? I mean, safely three or four. That they got, a little ways down the road and they fell through. And she told us, she said, every time it happens, it's like having a miscarriage. The sorrow, the despair of heart. She said, it's like you're losing your child. And it got me to thinking, tomorrow it's going to be finalized. And it got me to thinking, all the heartaches, all the tears up to this point, and now it's going to be a day of joy. Just think about all of the people that God is trying to adopt. Think about the people who have come close to adoption, but then draw back. Think about the sorrow of heart for God when you as a preacher are studying with someone and you've gone through several studies and they're getting close and they want to become a Christian and then you find out this and they're not willing to change it. And that adoption just fell through. As sad as it is for our daughter or was for our daughter, think of how sad that is for God. And so we come to God as His children through adoption. Now, in 1 John chapter 3, that story I just told you about, and you're looking up in the sky and you're amazed at it. That's also at the heart of this word, behold. You know, earlier this week, think back through your conversations. Any of you say behold this week? Anybody say behold this month? Have you said the word without reading the passage with it? Have you said the word behold this year? We're familiar with it, but we don't use it. And we probably don't have a good understanding of it because it's not in our regular vocabulary. We think of behold, hey, stop and listen for a second. It's much stronger than that. It's a word that carries with it the idea of amazement. Behold. I mean, at 10 years old, if it had been in my vocabulary, I'd have said, Ricky, behold. That's the idea of that word, behold. Now, that helps us to understand what he's saying. Behold, God has made us his children. Look at the love that God has shown us in adopting us and bringing us in as his children. What greater, what closer relationship can we have with God than to become his children? God wants a close relationship with us. And that ought to be our dream and our goal. In Luke chapter 13, verse 34, this carries with it a little different connotation, but if you'll give me a little bit of liberty to use it in our context, as Jesus is pronouncing the destruction that is going to come upon his people in Jerusalem, it says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. I originally come from the woods of North Alabama. No, not from the town of North Alabama, not from a suburb, from the woods of North Alabama. We moved. My father was gracious. He was extremely considerate. He moved us from the woods of Alabama to the suburbs of Chicago. You ever heard the song, A Boy Named Sue? You go to Chicago at 7 years old saying, hey, y'all. I mean, y'all know, y'all, all respect. Do y'all know Colton Lively? Any of y'all know Colton Lively? That's the way I talked when we left the woods of Alabama. And so we moved up to Chicago. But every summer we would go back down to Alabama on vacation. And my grandmother had a 40-acre farm out in the woods of North Alabama. And we would spend some time there. We'd go to my uncle. He had a horse and cattle farm. We'd spend time there and such. But I remember as a little boy, Ma had, I don't know how many chickens. She had a bunch of chickens. And you know what we would do at 7 years old? We'd be out there chasing the chickens. It's fun. Try it. We'd be out chasing the chickens, and she would have chicks. And those chicks would be peeping, and then they'd be running. And mother would be over there with her wings out, calling her chicks to her. And she'd gather those chicks up under her wings. Now, what was that for? It was to protect them. So I understand the context, but isn't there also the connotation of that love and that care and that affection of drawing them up near and drawing them close? And so that's what God is saying He wants. He wants to draw us up close. He wants to share that warm, loving, affectionate relationship with us. He even tells us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, not as in affectionate terms, but he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." And so, again, this is talking about a relationship. You open the Word. You open up your heart. You open up your heart to me and my Word. And you let that in. And you honor me. You let me be the Lord of your life. I'm going to come into your life. I'm going to share that close relationship with you. We are going to have an intimate relationship with one another. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, there's some qualifiers on this relationship. For sake of time, without going into the context, he says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And so we, brethren, as preachers, like every Christian, we need to desire a close relationship with God. And he's doing his part. He has done his part and he's doing his part, but we got to do our part. It's not that it's a one and done deal. We've got to keep on seeking God. And we've got to seek for him. We've got to search for him with all of our heart. And so when he talks about all of our heart, what does that mean? We understand, brethren, and I am not knocking it in any way. I'm just saying we got to be careful. We understand that God communicates to us through his Word. But sometimes we make everything in relationship about his Word. God is a living being who has created living beings. And so when he tells us that we are to seek him with all of our heart, it's going to the Word. It's searching for him. That's where he's revealed intimate knowledge to us about him. But it's doing it with our heart. It's doing it from that seed of emotion that we are a loving God. We're having an affection for God. We're wanting this relationship with him. And so we seek for him. And the way we seek for him is seek his will. Find out what pleases him. And we do that through the Word. And then Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. This makes it clear that God takes great delight in this. In the first verse, just that he draws near to God, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That tells us that God takes delight in doing this, but it tells us this is a result of what he does when he takes delight in us. But in Proverbs 8 and verse 17, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." And so what's the result? If our ways bring pleasure to the Lord, he's going to draw near to us, and we're going to share a close relationship with him. I wanted to get through one more point of this sermon, but I'm not going to make it. And so I'm going to stop here. Good place to stop in talking about drawing near to God. And I'm going to let Bob take over. Let's be ready. If Bob's not in the room yet, is he? Yeah. We'll leave that alone. And so if Bob chooses, we will start back in 5 minutes. But if he's fine, take a 10-minute break. Go ahead. Get up, guys.